Jesus is what I want to talk to you about this morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse number 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And Simon's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever in Anon, or at once they tell him of her. And he, meaning Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Well, we got a bunch of them now, don't we? And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning, God, that we all should be seeking you. We should be seeking you every single day of our life, but God, this morning especially. I'm asking, Lord, that you would move in a glorious and a holy and a mighty way. Help us, Lord, that we can understand better, God, how your healing works and how we need your healing power, even this day, even here in our church and other churches all around the world. And I pray this morning, God, a special touch on this special national prayer day for all the world. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, give you something a little humorous to wake you up. Uncle Irv need $3 million to clinch an important real estate deal. So he went to a local synagogue to pray for the money. By chance, he knelt down by a man who was praying fervently for $100 to pay his rent. Irv started to pray, then he stopped. Then he reached in his pocket for his money clip, and he took out a $100 bill, which he pressed into the hand of the other man's hand. Overcome with gratitude, the man got up and left the sanctuary. Uncle Irv then looked up heavenly and prayed, Lord, now that I have your undivided attention. He was bothered by this guy praying, probably, because that guy was sincere, right? Even though God is everywhere and doing everything, we still always have to have his undivided attention. And since his mind is so great and unlimited, I'm going to talk to you this morning, if I could, about an awesome Savior that we have. And I thank God for this awesome Savior, don't you? He is wonderful and he is mighty. So a little summary is, research has proven that how powerful a human touch is. Since that's true, imagine how powerful the touch of Jesus is and the effect it can have on people, and how we can be a part of God's touching the world. We'll stop there just a minute, and I want to make a little, whatever you call it, but anyway, you know, a touch is more important than you really realize. Why do we have handshakes? Why do we have hugs? Why do we have just a pat on the back? When boys and girls are normally trying to get acquainted with their boyfriend or girlfriend, or trying to become a boyfriend or girlfriend, usually the first thing they do, they touch hands. Oh, some of them are so brave, they might want to go past that and grab them and hug them and give them a kiss, but that might get your face slapped. So a touch is something that starts off what could be a glorious relationship. You see people, maybe they just go out for dinner and they reach across the table and just touch one another's hand. And they feel something just from that touch. So this is what I want to talk to you about this morning, how important a touch really is. And I'm not talking about whether you want to shake hands or don't shake hands. Or if you don't feel comfortable, don't do it, okay? Don't do what you don't want to do or you don't feel like doing or you don't feel comfortable. How many people are there in the world today who hunger for a healing touch? It may not be their body, but all people need God to touch their soul. Can you say amen to that? We're looking today at how powerful a human touch is and the effect it can have on people and how we can be a part of God touching the world. So the touch of Jesus, it's important, is it not? The trouble with Peter's mother-in-law, getting back to the scriptures, is, and let me just stop there, and I want to continue on just in a minute, but let me give you something a little bit humorous about mother-in-laws. There's always been that mother-in-law. Oh, I love my mother-in-law. I hate my mother-in-law. She's the meanest woman ever was. She's always got her nose stuck in somebody's business. Have you ever heard all that old garbage? I thank God I had the sweetest mother-in-law I could ask for. She's gone on to heaven, and I hope to see her one day. And so when you all pray, just say, he was bragging on you. A mother-in-law and a son-in-law had a bad relationship. The wife said to her husband, she said, you hate my relatives. He said, no, I don't. In fact, I love your mother-in-law more than I love mine. Now think on that a second. Did you get it? All right. A constant nagging son-in-law decided to buy his mother-in-law a cemetery plot as a birthday present. On her next birthday, he didn't buy her not even one gift. The mother-in-law was upset and asked her son-in-law, said, why? He had forgotten this time. The son-in-law responded, well, you still hadn't used the one I bought you last birthday. Don't try that, folks. Serious illness. The condition of Peter's mother-in-law was very serious because she had a fever. According to the Gospel of Luke, her fever must have been serious because it was described as a great fever. She had a great fever. And we have to remember that they didn't have Tylenol back then or aspirin or anything like that to reduce the fever as we do today. And the NIV describes it as a high fever, probably over 103 maybe or whatever. But such a fever indicated that there was a bacteria and some kind of virus that she had in her body. And it was very bad, and she could have died with that. But Peter's mother-in-law was confined to her bed. She was unable to get up and even greet the great and wonderful visitor that she was had from Nazareth called Jesus. And if she could have, she would have probably had a great time, and to have such a great person in her house and such a special person that she would have probably fixed him the best meal that she could have cooked. But you see the touch of Jesus. Mark says that Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up. In other words, Jesus healed her. So Jesus touched others, sometimes unnecessarily, because here at other places, Jesus could have simply spoken the word and she would have been made whole. But Jesus chose to touch her and others because he knew that his touch would mean to them, and what it would mean to him and even to us. Here we're, are some examples that I want to talk to you about, but his touch. And he did something that a lot of other people was afraid to do because it's going against the law. For instance, the leper. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, violating the cleanness law. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of the leprosy. Isn't that something? It talks about that in Matthew 8 and 3. So Jesus reached out his hand, touched somebody that was unlawful to touch, because there was a law, if they come so close, they had to holler, unclean, unclean, and they had to get away from them. But Jesus didn't fear this leprosy. He didn't fear it. He just reached out and touched him. Can you imagine about that? I know Sister Gordon and I pastored a church and had these little kids that had these scabies, they called it. And a little fellas run up and want a hug, and I was not going to turn them away. People says, oh, you're liable to get that. You're liable to get this. You're liable to do that and something else. And we didn't get it. We prayed, God protect us. Just like a lot of people, sometimes there'll be some unprivileged children and things come in. They might have head lice. Go ahead, scratch. We didn't worry about it. We hugged them just like we did anybody. You mean to tell me you'd hug that kid and you knowing that they got head lice, that kid needed a hug. Thank God for a lot of hairspray with some alcohol in it. You wondered why I sprayed my hair, right? Oh, I let the secret out, didn't I? But God always protected us, and he protects the ones that will use precaution, but still yet sometimes there's something, even the blind. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you. And then Jesus, compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed Jesus. One, and he just spit on the ground and made up some mud. Remember my sister's making mud pies. They never did taste good. But he put that mud in his eyes and told him to go wash, and he came back seeing. And then there's a deaf and dumb. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. But notice this next part. This is really amazing right here. But it's in the Word of God, so it's got to be the truth. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. Stick your tongue out. Oh man, that's awful. But Jesus did it. He did it for a sign. He did it because he wasn't afraid to touch somebody and heal them. And then there's touching the children to bless them. It's amazing. People were bringing their little children to Jesus and having him to touch them. And he took the little children up in his arms and he put his hands on them and blessed them. And Mark 10, 13 through 16 talks about this. But the disciples was rebuking the mothers and say, hey, get these kids out of here, in other words. He don't have time to fool with you kids. Well, I want to tell you something now, folks. We better take time to fool with the kids. We better take time to honor and bless the kids. You know, when you hug a kid, they come in and they look like they hadn't had a hug for a little while and they want a hug. Don't just hug them. Whisper a prayer and bless them. You don't have to say, bless you in the name of Jesus, you little rascal, or what. You don't have to do that. Just hug them and pray, Lord, bless that child. That child needed a hug. Because I want to tell you, folks, we all need a hug at times, right? There's times that we do need a hug. When we go to the funeral home and there's some mother standing there weeping over her child that's just passed on, or her husband, or vice versa. And we don't know anything to say, but we just walk up. One of the most vulnerable times in their entire life. You don't know what to say to them. People say, and I hear some people kind of ignorantly saying, I know exactly what you're going through. You do not, so quit saying it. You don't know it. Sure, you may have had an instant lost loved ones like this, but you don't know what they're going through. Everybody deals with it differently. Can you say amen? But one of the most important things you can do is just venture up Shake hands with them if you want, but just put your arm around them. And if they're crying, it's okay to cry with them, right? And just pat them on the back and tell them, hey, we're praying for you and we love you. That's the most important thing that you can tell them. First of all, that you love them or vice versa. And then that you're praying for them. And you know what they'll normally say? Thank you. I need it. And this is why that we sometimes just need to touch people and not be afraid to touch others. Can you just say amen? So now when you think about this, there was a bent over woman. She was, couldn't straighten up. She was bent over. Then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Luke 13:13. So we see that there was a lot of examples, but then there were some things that Jesus did that nobody else didn't very well do, probably because they had that fear of what people were going to think. You know, one of the greatest fears that I think in a Christian world is people are afraid to lay hands on somebody and declare them healed by faith because they're afraid it won't happen. Jesus didn't worry about what they thought. He just touched them, laid his hands on them, prayed for them, and they were healed. He just said sometimes, take up your bed and walk. He didn't pray a big long prayer. He didn't go on with a big long something. Hey, he just got them by the hand. And this is a good part about Jesus. So this woman was bent over and he healed her. So when we think about this and how important a touch is, why is this touching so important? Dr. Bryant points out that as late as 1920, a few days before I was born, the death rate among preemie infants in America approached almost 100%. Then Dr. Fitz of Boston brought over from Germany a concept of tender, loving care. Now think about this. So while visiting the children's clinic in Germany, he noticed that the doctors had done everything that they medically could do for a baby, but it still did not recover and died. They gave the child over to an old woman named Anna, and she cured them. Now how in the world could she do this? God's the one who does the healing, right? But this is a... So this story explains why a touch is so important. In South America, a person was talking about observing in an understaffed orphanage that of 97 children were deprived of emotional and physical contact. 27 of these died the first year, and 7 died the second year, solely from lack of touch and physical nature. Most of the rest suffered from very, very psychological damage and all of this. So it's very important that we understand. Did you ever wonder why sometimes that foster children are so mean? I don't mean that rudely, but have you ever thought about foster children sometimes? I mean, they are just wild and uncontrollable and all of this. They're trying to get somebody's attention. And the best thing that you can do for that, if you're a foster parent, is to give them a hug. Touch them, talk to them, love on them. And say, hey, you're very important. You're very valuable. And I'm praying for you. And hey, I just want to see some good in you. And start talking good to them and touching them. Because I want to tell you, folks, everybody needs a good loving touch. If a husband and wife never touch one another, if they never sit close to one another, I wonder why you'd be enormous sit so close. All right. And there's Gary behind, got his arm around Cindy. That's very important, guys. It's important. I'm not trying to, and Jim's even got his arm around Bree. Woo, watch out. He's probably take her out for fried chicken today, right? So it's very important and valuable that we touch one another. Good Lord, Tammy, I don't think you can get no closer. I love you guys. But it's important. It's important. If you never touch one another, how in the world would they know that you are truly loving them? I really like to go sometimes and just watch some of these amusement parks or something, and you'll see some of these young couples. I mean, they'll be going down through there, and they won't even take time to hold one another's hand. And then here'll come old grandpa that's way up in age, and here they'll come holding hands, looking over and smiling every once in a while. That's a beautiful sight. Did you know it? It's beautiful because we need to understand that touching is very valuable and important to any of us. If a human touch is important, how much more important do we need the touch of our Savior Jesus? We need him, folks. Different ways to touch someone. Now listen carefully. There are different ways of healing touch can be given, and depending on the circumstances, and we can make human contact. Give a kiss to your wife or husband every once in a while. A hug, that won't hurt, right? Or speak words that will bring healing. Parents, how many times have your child asked you for a kiss or a hug? It'll make it better. Kiss my boo-boo. Make it better. They bumped herself. And they think if mom or dad will kiss that place, it'll be all right. And it will. They'll quit crying. Now, not only that, it's funny how a little Band-Aid will stop a child from crying. They'll skin their knee or whatever, and they're just crying, boo-hooing, all this. And you grab a Band-Aid and just stick it on that place, and it's amazing how quick they'll quit crying. One thing, they're not seeing that place. They're not seeing it and all this, but that is a touch. That's a way that we touch. Sister Gordon got a bunch of Band-Aids, and they were bright blue. And one of the preachers come up to the church, and he had skinned his head, and he said, "You got a Band-Aid?" She said, "Yeah." So she went and got with that big old blue Band-Aid and stuck on his head. I think she done it for meanness. She probably had others. But anyway, she was accused of it anyway. So have you ever experienced the power of healing words? Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and healing to the bones, found in Proverbs 12 and 18. See, the word of a reckless pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We must also admit that there's also times when action speaks louder than words. I like this little illustration. I think it's so on target. A four-year-old boy had a next-door neighbor who had lost, who was an elderly gentleman, and he had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into this gentleman's yard and climbed up in his lap and just sat there. When his mother asked him what he had said to his neighbor, the little boy said, "Nothing. I just helped him to cry." How many times has someone helped you to cry? Little kids are so sensitive to our feelings. Sometimes they can sense more than we really want to give them credit for. Just that little touch. Can you imagine the little boy just climbing up in his lap? I thought that was so sweet. It's wonderful, is it not? Another soft-hearted statement I want to make. A little girl was on the bus approaching a grumpy, dirty old lady. "Are you a grandma?" I got a grandma. I love grandmas. There was a change in the old woman at the very touch of the child. No one who's been touched by the hand of Jesus will ever be the same again. You see, children don't look at color. They don't look at whether they're clean or dirty. They just see a need and they feel it. Shouldn't we be more childish or childlike and see the need and just touch that need? See that person that's really crying. I've told you this before. I was going down through Walmart one day, and this little kid, it was a crying, and he was just a throwing a fit and all this. And I looked over, and I said, "Are you having a bad day?" He said, "Uh-huh." And I made a friend right there. Why? I touched his little heart because I asked him if he's having a bad day. And he said, "Uh-huh." Isn't it amazing? You know, when we see somebody that needs a touch, whether it be by word or by hand or by mouth, whatever it be, we need to understand that we are very valuable in talking or saying something to that person. "Mary, are you having a bad day? Charles, how's your day going? Joey, you all right today?" See, sometimes it's just something that we can say that will spark something that will help us out. When you're touched by Jesus, things change, folks. Being served, getting back to Peter's mother-in-law, she wanted to serve. After Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law, the Bible says that she began immediately to serve others. And that should be a pattern for us. When we're touched by Jesus, we ought to immediately start serving others. Can you say amen? Those who live have been touched by Jesus usually begin to serve Jesus as a disciple. I really love when Jesus just touches my heart. Sometimes I tell you what, you need a touch like you haven't needed for a long time. Did you ever get down and kneel and pray and you feel like the world is against you and everybody else? And you get down to pray and you feel, "Boy, if I could just feel God's touch." And through the Spirit, you just feel that unseen hand just hovering over you and putting his arms around you and cuddling you up and saying, "I love you." This is what we need to understand, how important a touch is to somebody that needs a touch. Do you need a touch today? Do you need a touch from God? I'm not talking about a touch from everybody else. I'm just talking about a touch from God. He is wonderful, is he not? But notice, in fact, the Bible says that the whole town gathered at the door. This was a private residence. It was Peter's home, but still yet, hey, they all gathered. A whole town come and gathered up at the door. And Jesus began to heal them. His ministry was multiplied because of the touch. Winston Churchill said once, or he was asked rather once, does it thrill you that every time you make a speech that the hall is packed to overflow?" "It's quite flattering," he replied. "But whenever I feel that way, I always remember that if, instead of making a speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big." A lot of times people just come out to see, right? The next morning, Jesus sought a secluded place so he could go and pray. But why? The obvious answer is that ministry and prayer are very much connected. He had been giving out all night, evidently, or way up in the night. And now he needs to get off somewhere and pray and seek God. You see, when the little woman that had the issue of blood, when she came by and just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, he said, "Who touched me?" The disciples begin to, there's all kinds of people around. "What are you talking about?" He said, "I felt the virtue go out of my body." He felt that leaving his body. I want to tell you, God is good. Come to music, would you please? He is good and he's wonderful, is he not? So you need a touch. If you need that touch today, just like Peter's mother-in-law, she needed a touch. She was in grave danger of dying with this high fever, but Jesus touched her by getting a hold of her hand and lifting her up. And immediately she was healed. You see, that's not just immediately healing. That's a miracle in itself. A high temperature, and all of a sudden it just, it's gone. I know many, many times, Sister Gordon and I, and not just us, many, many others, all of you got your stories, but somebody to have a real high temperature, just lay hands on them, pray for them, and hey, get that thermometer out and check it again, guess what? It's down to normal. But it's not what we do, but it's God touching them through us. And this is the thing that we need to understand, how good God is. It's both necessary for survival that we do it. God knows what we need, whether it's through his voice or his touch, don't he? And he is so wonderful. If you need that touch from Jesus today, if you just need that touch and you feel like, hey, I don't think anybody really cares about how I feel or all this, Jesus does. Would you come today and just let him put his arms around you and love you and help you? He'll do it if you allow it. Let's stand this morning, would you please? What a great and a wonderful Savior we serve. He is good. You need that touch today? How many of you need that guidance of the Holy Spirit? And if you need God, he has that invitation that he will help you and me. The altar's open this morning. If you'd just like to come and pray, hey, you don't have to be something wrong with you and anything like that other than you just need a touch. If you need that touch, come on. Come on, the altar's open. Would you please? Come on, praise God. Just come and pray this morning. You don't have nothing else to pray for, pray for us. We always stand in need of prayer. Thank you, wonderful God. What a great God you are. Come on, let's gather around. Everyone that would.